Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The English duo known as Public Service Broadcasting takes the sounds of 20th century history and sets them to 21st century music. In the past, they've used voice clips about conquering Mount Everest and aerial combat in World War II. But their new album, The Race for Space, is all about that magical contest in the 60s, when the Soviet Union and the United States engaged in one of the most spirited games of one-upmanship the world has ever seen. Public Service Broadcasting built their songs around actual samples of astronauts and control centers in Moscow and Houston, and other voices like JFK in this meditative opening. I have to say the album's been on heavy rotation in the Soundcheck office, but today we get to hear the band live. Here is Public Service Broadcasting with their song Go, a celebration of the moon landing, live on Soundcheck.
This is Apollo Control at 102 hours into the flight of Apollo 11. It's grown quite quiet here in Mission Control. A few moments ago, Flight Director Gene Kranz requested that everyone sit down, get prepared for events that are coming. And he closed with the remark, good luck to all of you. Until ignition for powered descent. Everything's still looking very good at this point.
Okay, all flight controllers, go, no, go for powered descent. Retro, go. Fido, go. Guidance, go. Control, go. Telcom, go. GNC, go. Ecom, go. Surgeon, go. Capcom, we're go for powered descent.
We're off to a good start. Play it cool.
Okay, I'll flag the colors. I'm going around the horn. Okay, retro.
Everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
75 feet, down a half. 1202 alarm. 60 seconds.
We're going that flight.
We're going that alarm.
40 feet, down 2.5.
If it doesn't reoccur, where we go?
30 seconds.
1201.
1201.
Roger, 1201 alarm.
1201 alarm.
That time, we're going, flight.
Okay, we're going.
We've had shutdown.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Okay, keep the chatter down in this room. T1, stand by T1. Dino, stay off flight controllers. Retro, stay. Fido, stay. Guidance, stay. Control, stay. Falcon, stay. GNC, stay. Econ, stay. Surgeon, stay. Retro, go. Fido, go. Guidance, go. Control, go. Falcon, go. GNC, go. Econ, go. Surgeon,
that is the London-based duo known as Public Service Broadcasting, live on Soundcheck in a song called Go, a celebration of the moon landing, the Apollo 11 moon landing back in 69. The album is called The Race for Space, and that is the theme of all the songs on it. Let me introduce you to the two members of Public Service Broadcasting. On guitar and keyboards and laptop, Jay Wilgoos Esquire. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having us.
And on drums, Wrigglesworth.
Hello.
So Mr. and Mrs. Wrigglesworth didn't bother to give you a first name?
You don't need a first name with a name like
Wrigglesworth.
That.
Right,
clearly,
right.
Their attitude to parenting was entirely relaxed.
You can practically hear the horn-rimmed glasses and the bow ties in the names. The members of Public Service Broadcasting. So, Master Wilgoos Esquire, let me ask you about those samples. They sound, especially when the flight director is going around the horn, they sound like they've been edited together in advance to produce that rhythm. Is that?
Yeah, there are eight different departments that he calls for goes, which is very helpful when you're writing sort of conventional pop music, I suppose, or slightly conventional pop music.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're kind of cut up to fall on the. Are they falling on the snare? I've never really paid much attention.
I also haven't paid attention to that.
Right, it's to give it the rhythm, you know.
Right.
It's to give it the kind of element of a chorus, I suppose.
And where did you get those from?
They came from the NASA audio collection, and it just came from kind of trying to find a way to cover Apollo 11, because we wanted to feature it on the album, obviously.
Right,
such
right.
A massive part of the space race. They came from wanting to find a way of doing it that didn't rely too heavily on all the most cliched lines, I suppose. So with the help of the Apollo Flight Journal, which is a bunch of transcripts of the actual mission, because it would have taken about as long as the mission to find those otherwise, I went through and found out the kind of the final three stages of descending to the moon, and then T1 for staying on the moon, and then chucked in some more goes at the end just because, you know, they left eventually.
So, so do the samples come first? Do they drive the song? Do they give you the structure of the song?
Yeah, I think you can tell the songs where they have done, because they tend to form a slightly more kind of literal base for it, I suppose. With Go, yeah, it was hearing those and then realizing, you know, it came from that anyway, realizing it was going to have to be a very fast song, you know, very energetic, and try and capture some of the excitement at the time. And I just really like kind of transposing the action mostly to Mission Control, because you know, it's not really the side that gets the most attention, but it must have been an incredibly tense and exciting place to be at the time.
And you listen to some of these, you know, some of these tapes, and it's like, this guy's about to put two guys on the moon while a third orbits it. And what does he say? Play it cool.
He's an extraordinary man, yeah. And my favorite is when they've actually landed. You just hear an engineer, I don't know who it is, but somebody says, we've had shutdown.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
You know, tech speak for, we've just landed on the moon, by the way. Yeah, we've had shutdown. Yeah, you've done it. Okay, next.
So you guys are Public Service Broadcasting. I'm sure you've had plenty of confusion here in the States with Public Broadcasting Service.
We cause confusion everywhere.
Yeah, all right. Do you, in fact, see what you're doing as a public service?
Well, it kind of started out as a bit of a tongue-in-cheek kind of joke based on that, you know. Almost, you know, the equivalent of two very English boys' sort of, you know, sort of hype song, I suppose. You know, we used to have a couple of songs that basically said we were the best thing ever, which I quite like the contrast between them. Yeah, you know, some people liked them. And obviously we're kind of talking about the institution at the same time, so it's there's a kind of double-edged layer to it. That doesn't make sense, but yeah. We quite like kind of being a bit ambiguous on certain fronts.
Now, video is an important part of your live performance too, right? So you actually, it's not just the sounds of the space race. You have visuals of it as well.
Yeah. we've been lucky enough, certainly for the Russian stuff, which I was extraordinarily concerned about getting hold of, where we'd get hold of it and where we'd get the permission to use it. We were lucky enough that our friends at the BFI, the British Film Institute, who we've worked with before, just inherited a whole load of what it's basically Soviet propaganda material that was kind of piped into English classrooms in the 60s. So we've got a kind of very received pronunciation take on the Russian side of the space race, like Yuri Gagarin orbiting the Earth. You know, it's quite a weird spin to put on it, but all the video kind of came through from the BFI for the Russian stuff, and then again sort of NASA stuff from you know here and there.
Right.
Got some great mission control footage for that song to try and sort of get across the excitement in the room.
So some of the Public Service Broadcasting's videos for these songs from the album The Race for Space are online. You can find them in all the usual places. The band is playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today, and for me, the kind of heart and soul of the record is the piece you're going to play next called The Other Side. Set up what the story is, what the moment of tension and anxiety in play here is.
Well, it's... Again, this came from trying to do a much-covered event in a slightly less obvious way. So rather than the kind of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day broadcast of Genesis reading, which is kind of what most people associate with Apollo 8, I think, just thought, having heard some of the tapes, it'd be interesting to try and recreate in sort of song structure the moment when they go behind the moon for the first time and lose contact, because they basically had to slip behind the moon, fire their big engine for about, I can't remember how many minutes, but enough.
It was eight, wasn't it?
It was enough that it was concerning, I think.
Yeah.
And basically, depending on what speed they re-emerged at and what position they were in, you'd know if they were either successful or returning to Earth or basically stuck there forever. So it's just an incredibly kind of tense moment, and we tried to get that across with this song.
And, I mean, you use something that's akin to perhaps the biggest cliche in electronic dance music, the bass drop, you know? I mean, you have your own version of that where it just, the sense of apprehension, of tension, of anticipation, it's really remarkable. Let's hear this live performance in the Soundcheck studio. The band is Public Service Broadcasting, playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. The album's called The Race for Space, and this piece is called The Other Side.
Control Houston, 2 minutes, 50 seconds away from time of LOS now. Our distance away from the moon, 460 nautical miles. Velocity, 7417 feet per second. Here in Mission Control, we're standing by. There's certainly a great deal of anxiety at this moment. We acquire at 36 minutes. So at 68 hours, 55 minutes, continuing to monitor. This is Apollo Control. Continue to monitor the loops here in Mission Control for our go, no-go decision. One minute, 30 seconds away now from loss of signal. Our distance away from the moon now, 401 nautical miles. Velocity reading 7535. As we continue with this flight of Apollo 8.
Thank you.
loss of a signal with Apollo 8 at 68 hours, 58 minutes, 45 seconds. We will watch with continuing interest the AOS clock here in Mission Control. They're traveling over the backside of the moon now. Our velocity reading here, 7777 feet per second. Now we're in our period of longest wait. Continuing to monitor, this is Apollo Control, Houston. Apollo Control, Houston, we've acquired signal, but no voice contact yet. We're standing by. We're looking at engine data, and it looks good. Tank pressures look good.
Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, we read you loud and clear. How do you read us?
We've got it. Apollo 8 now in lunar orbit. There's a cheer in this room. This is Apollo Control, Houston, switching now to the voice of Jim Lovell.
560.5, good to hear your voice.
Spacecraft traversed the moon perhaps over 10,000 times, but this is the first that a man aboard reported to his compatriots here on Earth.
The Other Side is the name of that song, live performance by the British duo called Public Service Broadcasting. It appears on their latest album, The Race for Space. Jay Wilgoose Esquire on guitars and laptop and keyboards, Rigglesworth behind the drum kit. And Rigglesworth, you're doing some triggering of stuff too, right?
I'm trying my best, yeah.
I have to say, I've as I mentioned at the top of the segment, I've listened to this record a lot, especially that song. I still kind of get chills when that moment happens where Apollo 8 emerges from the backside of the moon and reestablishes contact, and the sense of triumph that you hear in their voices and in your music, it's just astonishing. And Wilgoose, so the first time you guys actually heard the finished song with the music and the voice track together, what was that like for you?
I've been working on it for so long. I think I'd start to think it was a bit rubbish, actually, which might still be the case. I don't know. But
no, it is definitely not.
Yeah, you get so close to it that you don't really get the chance to kind of step away from it like that. And it was all kind of finished very much in a bit of a rush. So I never kind of had the moment of listening to it and thinking, like, actually, we might have something there.
Yeah,
I first kind of put it together, I thought you might have something there. But, didn't kind of have that moment of, you know, leaving the studio thinking we've got one in the can there that's actually half decent.
Well, you know, a lot of the songs that you've done, Everest, for example, conquering the highest mountain in the world, this song, you know, actually bringing people behind, go with landing people on the moon. These are moments of triumph, but of course there were moments of tragedy in the space race as well, and you have to deal with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of one of the hardest things to think about when putting the album together, actually, was whether or not to cover events like Apollo 1 and some of the Soviet disasters like Soyuz with Komarov and some of the astronauts cosmonauts who followed him. And in the end, we decided just to cover Apollo 1 because we thought it was such a big part of setting up Apollo 8 because it kind of changed the whole... changed the whole American space program, that disaster. It felt like it would be more of a disservice not to mention it than kind of disrespectful to mention it. So we put together quite a sort of a very sort of straightforward and not overly sort of melancholic song. We weren't kind of trying to emote all over it because we didn't really feel like it was our business to do that. We just wanted to kind of present these terrible events and kind of lay the foundations for what followed after that.
Astronaut Virgil I. Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee were killed tonight in a flash fire during tests of the Apollo Saturn 204 vehicle at Cape Kennedy. The fire occurred while the astronauts were in the spacecraft during the countdown of a simulated flight test.
So that's the song Fire in the Cockpit. Then at the other end of the emotional spectrum is the first single off the record, which is Gagarin, named after the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin. There's a video for that online, which I just have to ask you guys, is that really the two of you dancing?
What do you think, Riggles?
I'm afraid we're not allowed to comment.
There you go, I've trained him well.
Okay. Listeners, you can read into that answer or non-answer, whatever you want.
We like to leave a bit of ambiguity, you know, so if you want to think it's us, you might well want to think it's us, then go ahead.
The world's first cosmonaut. The first to open the door into the unknown. The first to step over the threshold of our homeland. The whole planet knew him and loved him.
Gagarin.
So how did this whole thing start? I mean, were you guys at one point just a band before you got this idea to start building songs around pre-existing, like, historical tapes?
I mean, we both played in other bands and, you know, more sort of straight up kind of, you know, guitar, bass, drums, I suppose. You thrashed away through loads of punk bands, didn't you?
I did, yeah, at a very young age. That was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun for the listeners.
But I don't know, just hearing an archive hour program on Radio 4 in the UK about the BFI releasing some material online for the first time I'd made songs using samples from computer games in the past, and you know, it was all just kind of for my own amusement. And I just thought that might be a source of interesting sort of DJ Shadow-esque voices. It was all about, you know, the sound of the quality of the voice and the kind of the authority you kind of get from that era. It kind of set about making a song, and then just it kind of grew from there. And then the concept started emerging, and then Riggles came on board, and now we find ourselves doing it. It's quite strange.
Well, that first album was called Inform, Educate, Entertain, which seemed like, you know, you're putting a marker down on the table.
Yeah, quite tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nonetheless.
But the current one is called The Race for Space. It is out now. Public service broadcasting here with us on Soundcheck today. So the song you're going to play for us next, this is from that first record, and it's called Spitfire. Now, watching the video, it wasn't clear to me whether you were actually using both World War II footage and maybe a Hollywood movie about World War II. What is that?
Yeah, it's the source material for this film, for this song, was a film called The First of the Few, which I think was actually re-edited over here and released as Spitfire, funnily enough, for the US market. And it's a film that the BFI had the rights to, and it tells the story of very much the story of the creation of the Spitfire, and it's very much a kind of propagandized version of it. It was produced in the middle of the war in 1942.
For folks who don't know, the Spitfire is a fighter plane.
Yes, I should say. Yeah, it's kind of very, it's a very talismanic thing back in the UK. It's kind of seen as the machine that helped win the Battle of Britain, even if more accurately, you know, it was a combination of a whole load of things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this film is one of the reasons why that kind of view has become prevalent, I suppose. And we kind of wrote a song that backed that up, but at the same time, hopefully slightly undercut it a bit. We kind of put a krautrock beat underneath it to kind of offset any rampant nationalism that people might read into it, because we're not about that at all. So, yeah. And this is the song that emerged.
All right. The song is called Spitfire. Once again, this is Public Service Broadcasting live on Soundcheck.
The birds fly a lot better than we do. See how they wheel and bank and glide? Perfect. And all in one. Wings, body, tail, all in one. Someday, I'm going to build a plane that will be just like a bird.
Public Service Broadcasting, the band out of London here in our New York studio, live on Soundcheck with Spitfire, a song from their first record called Inform, Educate, Entertain. And they've been entertaining us. Will Goose, three songs, three different guitars. Is it just more fun to travel with many, many instruments?
Funnily, and it's not.
Yeah.
No.
Is it because each one sounds different? Do you have different tunings?
Yeah, it's partly to do with how they were written, I suppose, and what kind of feels right playing them. But yeah, they do all coincidentally have different tunings, but I can't pretend that I probably wouldn't use three different guitars even if they didn't.
And you've also, you know, for folks who are wondering how you can play both keyboard and guitar simultaneously, in that song at least, you're doing a kind of hammer-on technique with the left hand on the guitar.
Yeah, you'd learn it very, very slowly and speed it up and hopefully don't muck it up live on radio.
Well. All right, so the current album is called The Race for Space, and, you know, it really does take us through that remarkable time when two countries were sort of racing each other to the moon. Looking back at it now, what do you guys think of the space race? And where are, you know, what do you think about it heading forward?
A few people have come up to me and said they think the record, it certainly ends on a sad note, and they think it's kind of got a bit of melancholy to it. And I think that was, you know, that's kind of part of the feeling I have about it is that we kind of missed it, or I missed it anyway, certainly. And, you know, this, it's not often with technological developments you say, oh, we used to do this, but we don't do that anymore, because we kind of normally keep moving things forward and things keep growing. Right. It's a bit like the Concorde, you know. It's like saying we used to have a supersonic passenger plane, but no, we don't have that anymore. It's just a bit sad. But it kind of, the release of it coincided very happily and very accidentally with the Philae comet landing and kind of burgeoning interest in private space exploration and... you know, all this talk of missions to Mars and stuff like that. So it seems like it's taken a step back towards the limelight in the meantime, which kind of suits us, obviously. But I just think it'd be great to get people excited in it again, to start sending people to sort of far off places and really kind of exploring. That's kind of what we do, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the album does end with this piece called Tomorrow, and it has a very poignant quality. It's like, look what we did. What will we do tomorrow? You still working with the BFI, with the British Film Institute?
Yeah, I've already emailed them just to check on a couple of things.
All right. Okay.
And it looks okay, so yeah, we'll see.
So plans afoot for a new record?
Plans, yeah, I mean, it takes a while, but yeah, maybe a couple of years. Kind of need to recuperate a bit after this one. It was tough.
It's a great record. It's just a great record. It's called The Race for Space, from Public Service Broadcasting. That is Jay Wilgoose Esquire and his faithful companion Wrigglesworth on the drums.
He's not that faithful.
Gentlemen, it has been a lot of fun having you here with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, Fabulous.
Thank you. Cheers.
And as I take man's last step from the surface, back home for some time to come, but we believe not too long into the future, I'd like to just let what I believe history will record, that America's challenge of today has forged man's destiny of tomorrow.
If you wish you could see inside the Soundcheck studio, well, you can. We often shoot video of the bands that come on our show, and all you have to do to find them is go to soundcheck.org and click on video. And if you really like them, tell your friends. Post our videos on your Facebook pages, share them on Twitter, email them to your parents. Just don't keep them to yourself. There's enough to go around for everyone.